This is Twit.
Facebook has banned QAnon. What a surprise, actually, because Facebook really kind of, for reasons I don't fully understand, has been resisting this all along.
Because of the Republican Congress, that's why.
They didn't
get smashed. They take anything down, including QAnon.
So this is what's interesting. We live in an interesting time. Now, there's a 1 month to the election. Then there'll be a couple of months interregnum, a lame duck session of Congress, lame duck. Well, we'll see. Maybe it will or will not be a lame duck president. But then if there is a new president, January 20th will be a new president. Are companies going to? They're obviously very political, right? So you're saying that Facebook's, are they actually predicting the election results and saying, okay, it's safe to ban QAnon now? I should have banned it. Why didn't they ban it before is maybe a better question. But I also think there's some significant concern come November 3rd, and you're seeing Facebook say, we are going to be very aggressive about blocking false posts on election day and the days following. Twitter saying the same thing. There's some concern that they're going to take the fall once again for the results of the election. Does that sound sensible?
I disagree.
Well, whoever loses is going to try to blame them, sure. Sorry, Ant.
What do you think?
I disagree. I don't think that sounds sensible.
They're not worried about that. They're just business as usual. Because they know you're right. Doesn't matter what happens. They're going to get crap no matter what happens. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. They have banned the conspiracy theory QAnon. There's a really interesting piece in Bloomberg today about the guy who really put it on the map, who was a executive, a technology executive at a big bank. Was it Citibank? I think it was. Who created the first QAnon centralized site for information. And it's quite a story.
Let's be clear about one thing. Let's say that tomorrow, absolutely every mention of QAnon disappears on Facebook and Twitter. Our problems ain't over, folks.
No.
No, but, I mean, it helps. I mean, there are lots of people being radicalized. I don't know if you're radicalized in a QAnon. I mean, my people I love are seeing these.
You know what?
And
that's a good use of
credence.
Stupid, Stacey. You're made stupid. That's an okay use of the word stupid.
Well, QAnon is not reductionist. It's the exact opposite. It's
joining QAnon.
Bizarrely elaborate influx theory. The latest is the president's COVID diagnosis is all fake because he's going undercover to set the stage for the storm. Which, you know, okay, fine. This is, if you are curious, I mean, we've recommended in the past articles, there was a great one on Atlantic about QAnon, but this article, Bloomberg Business Week, about a Citigroup tech executive who was doing just fine, but created a website that really launched QAnon. By the way,
part of it?
Well, no one's part of it. It's all been
But he was a sympathizer. He wasn't trying to expose it.
Sympathizer.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. Okay, thanks.
Oh, no. So it starts about his radicalization. Like many future Donald Trump voters, giving credit to the author William Turton and Joshua Brustein, like many future Donald Trump voters, Jason Galinas felt something shift inside him during the presidency of Barack Obama. Things were going okay for him generally. He had a degree from Fordham, held a series of jobs at big financial services firms, eventually becoming a senior vice president at Citigroup in the company's technology department. He was married with kids, had a comfortable house in a New Jersey suburb. According to those who knew him, he was a pleasant guy who was into normal stuff, Game of Thrones, recreational soccer. Things did get weird, though, when politics came up. He was a registered Democrat in the run-up to 2008, but then seemed to drift to the right, and not in an I'm going to vote for Romney this time sort of way. He hated the idea of Obama, one of his friends, speaking on the condition of anonymity, said he thought it was a setup. And Obama was elected to satisfy the black population. He sometimes referred to him as the Antichrist. Significantly immersed in right-wing internet conspiracy theories, QAnon, which started on 4chan, later migrated to 8chan, kind of drew him in. In 2018, while doing his job at Citi, he created as an anonymous side project a website dedicated to bringing QAnon to a wider audience, soccer moms, white-collar workers, and other normies like Stacy's family. By mid-2020, the site qmap.pub was drawing 10 million visitors a month and was credited by researchers with playing a key role in turning an obscure and incoherent cult into an incoherent cult with mainstream political ambitions. So that's the problem, is that's a website. Anybody who's into QAnon doesn't care if they could see it on Facebook. What it would do is stop anybody who's not into QAnon, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, Facebook helps people find QAnon.
Right. Well, we just
where Dana Boyd screams about this, is that when you say things like, it's out there enough now. If you say things like incel, people say, what the hell is incel? They go to Google and they search, what's incel? And then and it's primed. It's ready for you to do that. Because they've planted the seeds across of it, so you're going to go down their rabbit hole, and it doesn't so it doesn't matter where you hear about it. You can hear about it on Fox, you can hear about an email from your uncle, you can hear about it anywhere. It's going to be out there, right? And so the idea that I think the part of the presumption is my God, what took Facebook so long? True, yes, they should have had my argument about Facebook is they should have a North Star of decent behavior, and this doesn't fall under it. And they should have gotten rid of it, but free speech, blah blah blah. Even if they got rid of it, it wouldn't have made much difference.